The Old Testament reading today is from Ezekiel chapter 2, 1 through 5. He said to me, "Son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak with you." As he spoke to me, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. And he said to me, "Son of man, I send you to the people of Israel, to the nations of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants also are impenitent and stubborn. I send you to them, and you shall say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God.' And whether they hear or refuse to hear, they will know that a prophet has been among them." The epistle reading today is from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 through 10. "I must go on boasting, for there is nothing to be gained by it. I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man, I will boast. But on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weakness. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me, so to keep me from being too elated. By surpassing the greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being too elated. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, and it should leave me. But he says to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in my weakness. Therefore, I will not boast all more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of the Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." This is the word of Christ.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. The last half of this, by the way, will be the text for our sermon this morning. Jesus went away from there and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. And on the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household. And he could not do mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went about among the villages teaching. And he called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. And he said to them, 'Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. And if any place will not receive you, and they will not listen to you, when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them.' So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text upon which I'd like to meditate this morning is the second part of the gospel lesson today, where Jesus sends his disciples out two by two to go and preach to the people, to whoever they meet. You might notice that today's sermon is technically a continuation of last Sunday's, where I was preaching to you. We have been blessed to be a blessing to other people. But I hope you'll notice that today there's something else added to what we heard last week. Last week it was technically we should give some of our blessings, like our money and so forth, to help other people. But today you'll notice something else that goes with discipleship. So please bear with me. And when your pastor comes back this week, don't tell him I tried driving you too hard, but I hope you will tell him I was trying to point out all I could about what our Christian duties are. My dear friends and fellow disciples of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ, have you ever heard it said that people would not want to get involved? No one wanted to get involved. I hear that so often in Indianapolis when I hear something like this. There was a party going on among the young people, and suddenly someone was shot. And all of the other people there who witnessed it refused to come and tell the police anything, so no one knows what really happened. When I hear that, it makes me feel terrible, thinking, oh, without witnesses who saw it, what do they expect a policeman to do? Well, the whole of it is, they say that it's too common nowadays for people to say, I simply don't want to get involved. I don't know what would happen, but I just stay out of it. Well, the question goes through my own mind then, if I think about it for a minute. What would I do if I saw something that was not the most fun to see or something like that? Well, there is question about it and how a person would respond, but that's something we'll have to trust the Lord to guide us to do if we're ever involved in something like that. But you know, the same type of thought fits in our action as Christians. What have I been doing, or have I done what I should in helping in the needs of other people or the opportunities that the Lord gives me? Well, you know, last year down in Texas when that hurricane came through there with 50-some inches of rain and people were flooded out, the worst known in history, I know I myself tried to send some money to them, but I never got down there to help the people repair their homes or do what I could have done like that. And I know there's been cases around here in Indiana even where I myself feel guilty at times that I don't respond as much as I could. Or as I even mentioned in the Bible class this morning, I see a person dying and know that that person there, the family watching, are going to need comfort. So am I doing my best to comfort that sorrowing person in the time of their grief? Well, let me ask you, have you demonstrated your concern for other people outside of your own family in the past week, the past month? I'm sure some of you could answer yes. And if you're like me, some of you probably would say, well, I didn't do as much as I could, and so forth. Don't let me scare you, but that's a thought for us to think about today. Sometimes it's too easy for us to think of Christianity as remaining cozy like here today in our beautiful padded pews, hearing the Word of God preached, taking part in communion, things like that, and those are all part of Christianity. And when the collection plate is passed today, that's a part of it too. We give some of our money. But here in our text today, we find something else being shown about what Christianity or discipleship involves, and that is it involves getting involved personally, doing something personally. Our Savior's first disciples here in this text were in the process of learning that discipleship involves or means involvement. As we read here in our text, Jesus called the 12 and began to send them out two by two. Now the same Jesus Christ who had said, "Come unto me and I will give you rest," is here saying, "Go out and do my work for me," or "carry out your duty as my called disciple." They were originally intended to discover that what Christianity today needs to rediscover. That is, that the call to "come unto me and I will give you rest," that type of God-person relationship is wonderful in Christianity, but that Christianity also involves go out into the world and preach the gospel unto your fellow mankind. Be the worker for Christ that he wants you to be. Yes, we're called to come into Christ and rest in his grace-giving love. We have that. That's a blessing of Christianity. But we must also come to realize that the same Savior who called us to come unto him also commands us to go. Both coming and going are a part of true Christian experience. We must come to realize, as I'm sure you can see, therefore, that discipleship means involvement in action of doing things properly for the Lord. As we do come to realize that true discipleship means involvement, we must make ourselves ready to serve our Lord and Savior. And if we do truly accept the responsibilities and duties that we carry as a disciples, we must be ready for the opportunities as they are given to us. We don't know when there will be a chance for us to say something comforting to another person. We don't know when it will be. But the one thing is, we need be ready. And there's something that often is used as an excuse for not doing something. And that is, well, I don't know what to say, or I'm not ready for it. That's where we need to look at it more like the disciples did here in our text. They were not actually ready or had not received special training. They had been with the Lord for a period of time and heard him preach and so forth. But it doesn't say in our text, and if you read it in the Gospel of Luke, it's the same situation. It doesn't say that Jesus sat down and preached to them all of this that they should say to other people. In fact, here today, it was Jesus actually in his hometown being looked at as not being a proper teacher, that thereafter the next step is he sent the 12 disciples out. They were being sent out technically like lambs into among the wolves, the hostile world. But they were to carry out his work and trust in him. Well, likewise, we never know when the Lord will place an opportunity before us, but we must be ready to go out at any time and serve the Lord and our fellow mankind. We must be ready to do it trusting in him. Now, the disciples here in our text were told, quote, "Take nothing for your journey except a staff." They were to go out without extra money, extra clothes, even food. Perhaps this was necessary as a way to teach them that their dependence was not to be focused upon the trinkets of this world or the rewards of this life. They had received their Lord's orders and authorities. He told them, "Go, I give you authority," and that was sufficient. They had no axe to grind, no budget to raise, no allotment to fulfill. They were simply to go and to minister to the people with whom they would come into contact, leaving the rest in Jesus' hands. He would guide them and give them comfort. Well, likewise, we are not to worry about our preparation for witnessing for Christ, for we will be guided by the Holy Spirit. In fact, it's not even we who do the witnessing, it's the Holy Spirit witnessing through us. We must simply make up our minds to go and leave the rest to the Lord, who will guide us and strengthen us. We must also not pass up the opportunity to serve our Lord in every place that it occurs. We never know which home will receive us and which one will not receive us if we're out doing evangelism work. Jesus did not tell his disciples to go only to the homes that they thought would be most likely to accept them, but he told them, go to each home. And then he said, to try to point out to them that their relationship was not to be based upon statistics, he said, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place if they accept you. This meant that they were to be ready to stay at that home, conversing with the people, helping them there in that home, and working from that home around the community or something like that. It was not to go to one home and say a few words and then step on to the next, necessarily working like a newsboy peddling newspapers, but instead they were to develop a relationship with the people with whom they communicated. Jesus was telling them not to judge their success by statistics, not ascertain their value as disciples and ministers by the positive response of their efforts to serve others. Their task was simply to be the minister to the people and leave it to him. There would be conversions as a result of their ministry. I'm sure they brought people to faith, but there would also be people who would not listen at all. But they were to go and minister and leave it to the Lord. Likewise, you and I must take advantage of all the opportunities, regardless when and where they may be. It may be a place that we don't think is fun to talk to other people. It may be in a home where we don't feel very comfortable. But leave that. Don't use that as a decision-making thing. Just go and share as the Lord guides you to do. And as we do serve as the Lord's disciples and minister to our fellow people, we must remember that we should be ready to take no as an answer from people, because just as Jesus is saying here, there will be people who won't accept what you and I try to teach any more than they did those that the disciples or even he himself was sharing at his hometown. In fact, a number of failures may outnumber the successes in any effort we do of preaching for the Lord. However, our responsibility is loving proclamation of the wonderful message of salvation. If our ministry is indeed loving and the response is of indifference, then the fault is not ours. If we do it properly and people reject us, we can't change that. The Holy Spirit is the one having to do the work. If we do receive no as an answer when we call upon someone, we should not become angry and feel that we can't accomplish anything, but instead do as Jesus said, shake off the dust and go on to the next home. But there is a second point for us to receive from what Jesus is here saying when he tells the disciples to shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. This was something practiced by the Jews in that day. If they did not get accepted by people, if something happened that did not work out in a relationship, it was common that they would stop and let the other people see them shaking that dust off. Well, if you and I call upon someone and they don't like us or don't want to listen to us, the one thing we can do that would be of great value is, before we leave, in a proper manner, make it clear to the people that they are the ones losing. We are not to try and tell them, "You stupid fool, you're just going to go to hell." But at the same time, we do need to make clear to them that they are aware that they have had an opportunity to hear the beloved, loving Word of God, and that if they don't listen to it, they will be lost. Now, that's not being done as a means of revenge on our part. It's not a means to try and pound on the person, but it's making it clear to the person, to the best of our ability, that definitely what they're passing up is the love of God. If we can do that in a proper way, it may move that person to want to hear it, or it may move the person to think about it and turn and listen to the next person they get a chance to hear. But the key of it is, it's a way for us to depart from the person knowing we've tried to do it the best possible. But the one thing of it we need remember there is, don't become so concerned about that person, the first person over here who refused us, that we actually are thinking about them instead of realizing there's other people out here whom we need call upon. Do our best, leave our message there, and then proceed with love toward others. That is our duty. And as we take on the responsibilities and duties as the disciples of Christ, we must also be ready to offer people all kinds of blessings of the Lord. That means we must do something more like the disciples again did, who offered for not only forgiveness, but even healed or removed demons from the people. You and I don't have the ability to remove demons, and we can't heal, but there is a lot of things we can do, such as offering to help the person who needs some help in caring for themselves, or to think about the person who's sick and help them get back to better health tomorrow or the next day. Things like this are ways of caring for people in other ways in addition to sharing the gospel. And you know, the one thing we can be doing in doing this is, it is possible a lot of times that in the love shown like that, we either strengthen the faith of the person who already believes, or we bring that person who is not yet a believer to come to want to hear more of the gospel lesson. But overall, the key thing of it is, remember that definitely it is the salvation through Christ alone that is the key of our thinking. Don't let us get so busy helping the person who needs better care and taking care of themselves or something like that. Don't let any of those bodily needs get before the real message. It's salvation through Christ alone that we must be bringing. Or as Jesus told the people, or told the disciples, it's repentance and turning to Christ that must be our final message. And so, my dear friends, you have seen that our Lord and Master is in this very hour commissioning and commanding us to go and minister to other people. We've seen that we are to be ready for the opportunities that show up wherever they may be. We are to be ready to take no for an answer and never let it slow us down, but simply shake off the dust, tighten our belt, and move on to another person who needs the love of God shown through evangelistic action. We are to be ready to offer people all the blessings of the Lord. Discipleship, indeed, means involvement. Our Lord set the pace and expects us as disciples to continue to keep it for him. He identified himself as with the agonies of mankind. He even went through the involvement of being crucified, giving his life for the people of his day, for you, me, and all other sinners of the future. To follow him, therefore, means that we now continue in his course for our lives. We are expected not to simply criticize the distortions of humanity from the pews and pulpits of our sanctuaries, but to become involved in the blood and tears, the sorrows and suffering of God's creatures in suburb and ghetto, town and country, wherever it be found. We are to be involved as disciples. Because we are involved in the sickness of the world, we want as disciples of Christ now to become involved in its cure. It won't be convenient and comfortable. There'll never be easygoing discipleship. It might even become dangerous at times. We may even have to risk our reputation, wealth, status of society, or our very life even at some time. But that's what discipleship means. It means that we, as our Lord suffered on our behalf, are expected to be ready to suffer on behalf of others, to be ready to give our lives in service to them, only to truly find our own lives anew in the incomparable joy of being a servant of Christ. And with that thought in mind, I'd like to close with this beautiful, simple prayer, asking God to help me and help you as his disciple. Let us pray. Loving Christ, you who identified with me in my sins and sicknesses, adopted me as your son or daughter, and commissioned me as your servant, help me now to fulfill my servanthood in identifying with the needs of my brothers and sisters and in communicating your love and grace to them in any and all the ways you make possible. Amen. And that, my dear friends, is it for today. May the Lord, who strengthens and preserves you, keep you in true faith in Christ Jesus and enable you to serve him as he makes possible. Amen.